Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship this week comes from the 19th Psalm. The law of God is just, reviving the soul. Hear the commandments of life, give ear and learn wisdom. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward, but who can understand one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Also keep your servant from the insolent. Let him not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us join together now in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Never shall be.
Our first scripture reading comes from the 20th chapter of Exodus. Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and the lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at the distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text from the third chapter of Lamentations, verses 19 through 26. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sometimes when I have a few moments, some spare time, I like to read what I originally think are some nonsense type books online and in that spare time, if you know what I mean, just an opportunity to wind down. Oftentimes what I perceive will be a fun book to read turns out to be one that really makes me think. One of those life-changing type books is called The Hungry Planet, What the World Eats. Sounds like a really religious book, doesn't it? But it was written about 18 years ago when Peter Menzel and Faith DeLuzio set out to travel the globe to investigate what people eat. Typical people, normal for their own locations and cultures. So they sat down with 30 families from 24 countries, and they talked together about their lives and their work, their favorite recipes, and how they got their food. Did they shop at a place like Walmart or Aldi? Did they farm and grow or raise their food sources? Did they barter with others nearby? Then the authors photographed each family with 1 week's worth of the food that they consume. A family in California spent $159 each week for their food, and a family across the country in North Carolina spent $341. A family from Germany spent 445 euros each week, roughly $500 US, while a family in Darfur living in a refugee camp in Chad spent 685 francs, which totals about $1.23. There's something remarkable about the photos, seeing all those bottles of Coca-Cola lined up behind the family from Mexico, and the gorgeous detailed embroidery on the clothing of the Guatemalan mother whose family dines each week for 573 quetzals, or $75.70. And the fact that only those in Chad and Ecuador and Bhutan and Mali have absolutely nothing packaged or processed in their diets. How we eat, what we eat, is a common thread that binds us together, as well as something that sets us apart from one another. Here are some of the favorite foods that are shared from the authors of the book. A family from Great Britain loves chocolate fudge cake. A family from Mongolia treasures their recipe for mutton dumplings. The Ecuadorian family shared a recipe for potato soup with cabbage, while the family from Poland treated their guests to pig's knuckles with carrots. The familiar and the exotic overlap in unexpected ways. A family from Beijing loves shredded fried pork with sweet and sour sauce. A family from Mexico loves pizza, pasta, and chicken. While a family from the Philippines loves both the traditional adidas, which is chicken feet, and also cheese whiz. They eat those for breakfast. The authors of Hungry Planet wanted to show us how not only are new and exotic foods showing up in the great abundance on our own supermarket shelves, but how KFC and Coca-Cola and Kraft cheese singles are showing up on grocery shelves from Bosnia to Bahrain. It's a hungry planet, certainly. It's a small planet and getting smaller as our cultures reach out and touch one another. It's challenging to think about what we eat and to put it into perspective of globalization and starvation and the epidemics of obesity and diabetes in our own country. But as another author has expressed it, there's a hunger beyond food that's expressed in food. And that's why feeding is always a kind of miracle. When we eat together, we bring together the fragments of our lives and become a community. We move from separate to being one. Each year, on the first Sunday in October, United Methodists and others observe World Communion Sunday, a day that is organized around the idea of sharing a meal together. It was first celebrated at Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1933, a year that has been called the darkest year of the Great Depression and a time when Nazism was on the rise in Europe. Extremist responses to economic crises are nothing new. The Reverend Hugh Thompson Kerr and the people of Shadyside felt a celebration emphasizing Christian unity would provide encouragement and solace and a sense that the Church of Jesus Christ remains relevant, that it still has a word of hope to speak to a world that is feeling increasingly hopeless. And so their plan was to emphasize that unity through the sharing of a common meal, the communion meal, that meal that breaks down the walls between churches and individuals. There's a hunger beyond food that makes eating together a kind of a miracle. When we eat together, we bring together the fragments of our individual lives and experience communion. We move from being separate to being one. In this morning's passage from Jeremiah's Lamentations, we hear echoes of fear, insecurity, and the kind of persecution that was on the rise in 1933, as well as being on the rise in our own day. The plaintive cry goes up, "The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me." And yet almost instantly our passage reminds us and we remember, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." The Lord is my portion. When we are in the depths of fear or despair, everything tastes bitter, sawdust in our mouths. But when we rest in the reassurance of the God of abundance being our portion, life is filled with flavor again. The simplest things fill us. We know that we are cared for. We know the encouragement of our dark days. We know the solace of the embrace of God, and yet our call as people of faith goes beyond reassuring ourselves. It goes to caring for others. How do we shift the message of our people from what is the church doing for us into how can I serve others? We serve others in countless ways, but for Christians, table service is the first and foremost and the one modeled to us by Christ most often. Think about it. When you choose to eat with others, you are dropping your guard. It's supposed to be a time of fellowship, healing and care, sharing of a meal, passing plate by plate, dish by dish to another, enjoying the aroma and the flavor of the food, but also the conversation and the nearness that comes from having a seat at the family table. This week, I experienced a disheartening attack on my personal and religious beliefs because of someone's understanding of who I might support in the upcoming presidential election. I was criticized and called many hateful, hurtful, and simply untrue things, all from a person that I have known professionally for several years and respected as a Christian and for her chosen work as an educator. As I sat to write the message for this morning, my mind keeps coming back to that experience and also the words from our text today. While that experience of being unintentionally at odds with a colleague might tear me down or make me feel sad, defeated, or even angry, we must remember that the Lord is my portion. He loves and cares for me and you and even the one that speaks or acts poorly to us. And he calls us to join together, despite our differences in life, politics, and denominational theology to an extent. He calls us to join together for the purposes of bringing together those who might be completely different into a way that we are all similar, the worship and our faith in Christ Jesus, as we are called to sit around the supper table to dine with him. When we eat together, we bring together the fragments of our individual lives, and we experience communion. We move from being separate to being one. And today, we recognize a truth that we often take for granted. The table and the fragments that become one, they extend from around the world. They're not located just in Pea Ridge, Arkansas, or Rogers, Arkansas, or Northwest Arkansas. They're not just our local church or just the people that we know. They extend around the world from Davis Street in Pea Ridge to Kodera City in Japan, where they're sitting around the television. They extend to those enjoying a pizza in Mexico and to those enjoying some of Malahat's puffed pastries around a table in Istanbul. The world is much too small for us to imagine that they are not indeed our neighbors as well. On this World Communion Sunday, as we commune together at our own tables, let us remember Jesus' call to love our neighbors and to serve them and to make our table circle the globe. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Redeemer God, as we gather in worship on this World Communion Sunday, we ask that you continue to send your Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us. We pray for your Spirit to awaken new hope in us. Grant us the vision to see the coming of your kingdom. Help us to celebrate the glimpses of grace that you have given to each of us. Knit our hearts together in worship and communion so that we know we do not struggle alone in working for your peace and working for your justice. We pray, dear Father, that our communion table, our personal communion tables, would extend not just with those in our own personal family, Father, but to our communities, to the cities around us, to our states, our nation, and to around the world to those who have similar belief in you and want to seek you and want to be a part of your relationship, the relationship that you have with your people. We pray, dear Father, that our global family would be able to come together. We'd be able to come together and to sup with each other and to understand each other and to love each other as you have taught us to do. We pray these things, dear Father, We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is Pastor Jeremy Grotz of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church. In this world of solitude, fear, and discouragement, you don't have to be alone. The people of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church want to love you and surround your life with prayer and the spirit of hope. This isn't a call for money or financial support or even a ploy to change your church membership, simply a way to connect with folks who you likely don't even know who want you to have your best life through the grace and mercy of Jesus. How can we minister to you? Maybe a call or a card or just being lifted up in prayer may mean all the world to you. We want to be that connection for you. Drop me an email at pridgeumc@gmail.com, or you can give me a call at 479-553-9585. Your prayers are confidential if you ask them to be, but we want to be able to lift up the world to you through the love of Christ Jesus. You mean the world to us. Let us provide support for each other as we journey through these historical times together.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pridgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Grotz at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.